Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
3-2, swung on, a pop foul back here.
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. The Knicks win game one over the Philadelphia 76ers. And to talk about the Knicks, game one, the NBA playoffs, and look ahead to game two, we bring in Steve Popper from Newsday, covers the Knicks. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Lori?
Good. I think, Steve, the first time you and I spoke may have been when I think it was like WCTC Radio in Central Jersey. And I'm not sure what sport we were talking about at the time, because with both of us, who knows?
I did a couple of things. But I've done the Knicks for way too long to not see some good basketball like we're seeing right now.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I've been talking that was one of my themes is, you know, in terms of – I've been saying this for months – is for Knicks fans – enjoy the moment and enjoy the present and not be so worried about expectations, how far this team has to go before it's a disappointing season and any of those sort of things. Let's talk big picture here for this game one. And starting with, would you call this game the Mitch game or the Deuce game? What, you know, when we look back, is this Mitchell Robinson or Deuce McBride? It's obviously both, but do you think of it, first thing that comes to mind, the Mitch game, the Deuce game?
Yeah, that's a real tough one, and I would have said exactly what you said. It's obviously both of them. But I guess Mitch, because, look, McBride's been doing this for a while, ever since he really got the opportunity at the trade deadline to really step into a big role. He's kind of shocked us all with just how good he's been. You know, defensively, he's always been there. But I think to see what he's done with his shot from a guy who was about a 30% shooter from three of the first couple of years in the league, he's really worked on it and become just a dead-eye shooter. And look, I don't think any of us, you know, knew what to expect from him in this kind of playoff role. Like, you know, I said to him last night, he had 3 points in the playoffs last year in 8 games.
Right. Barely had an opportunity, 3 points in it, to your point, absolutely. Career, you know, whatever, 30% shooter. And here's a guy who 5 of 7 from, you know, we're about to get to, it's the Mitch game, but 5 of 7 for Miles McBride from 3-point range, 21 points, and an astounding, you know, at a night when it was the bench that dominated, for plus minus, he was plus 37. For people who don't pay attention to that, meaning the Knicks were outscored the Sixers by 37 points when Miles McBride was out there on the court last night. And, I mean, that is just a stunning statistic. It's the best, I think, plus minus ever by a Knicks player in the playoffs.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And which makes it as astounding as it may sound that I'm calling this a Mitch game.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the thing was, look, Mitch hadn't really shown an indication of this. You know, he was off to a great start this year. Mm-hmm. He fractures the ankle, misses 50 games, you know, in and out of the lineup, minutes restriction, and comes out last night and, you know, just really dominates when the Knicks really needed him. I mean, plays 30 minutes, which he hadn't done since December 1st. The rebounding we know he's going to do, but the defense, you know, he's talked about his conditioning, about his, mm-hmm. His timing. He really just did a great job of staying in front of Embiid. In the NBA stats, Embiid was 2 for 11 with Mitch as the primary defender on him, which is just, you know, crucial to what the Knicks are trying to do. You know, you've got on this team, you know, they've got a lot of weapons, but there's two guys you got to try and stop. It's Embiid and it's Tyrese Maxey. And they didn't have a lot of luck with either one of them for a while. But Hartenstein talked about it after the game that, you know, he just didn't have his sort of game. And Mitch really just saved him and saved them with the way he came in and played. And it's kind of been that way a lot this year with Hartenstein at one point was, you know, filling in for Mitch when he didn't have it. And now Mitch to come off the bench and do what he did. It reminds me of last year in the playoffs when he really lifted his game. You know, a lot of people were talking about everybody was talking about, you know, the front line of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Mitch just dominated them. And this, you know, again, you know, so I was joking with Jalen Brunson this morning at practice that, you know, is playoff Mitch a thing? and he was like, I guess playoff Mitch really is a thing.
That's right. You could argue that Mitchell Robinson was the difference maker and best player in that, most dominant player in that series last year against the Cleveland Cavaliers when the Knicks did win.
Yeah, absolutely.
And last, you know, talk about yesterday, last night, it wasn't just that he was effective with the numbers that you said, but what, and I understand that Joel Embiid in that second half was diminished, but you also point out that Mitchell Robinson, with his conditioning, is also coming off of surgery and having missed 50 games and isn't fully back to himself. But what I found so surprising was that Mitchell Robinson was able to defend the MVP and a guy in Embiid who did score 14 points in the first quarter. He was able to defend him effectively one-on-one. It wasn't just that he defended him and everybody else had to swoop in and help and team defense and, hey, we shut this guy. He was physically in there defending him one-on-one, and then the rebounding. That, the Knicks, when you look at this, if we're looking at the other factor in the game, we said, you know, Miles McBride plus 37 plus minus the other stat difference in this game. Knicks 55 rebounds and Sixers 33 rebounds. That difference, is that something, as we look ahead in this series, what do the Sixers do about that?
They've talked today about possibly playing Embiid and Paul Reed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, you're kind of playing into the Knicks' hands because the Knicks do it in a different way. They do it with very versatile players. So if you want to put two basic, you know, centers and one who's mobily limited right now, you know, against the Knicks, I think that's really going to hurt you on the other end, trying to keep up with, you know, guys like Ananobi and Hart, who are great rebounders, but they're runners. You know, Hart grabs a defensive rebound, and he's sprinting up the floor with it, you know,
coast to coast. Right.
Yeah. So I think to do that, I know they talked about doing some tricky things. To me, that might be overthinking it. There are things the Knicks do well, and rebounding is one of them. They're a great offensive rebounding team. And I don't think, you know, adding size and flipping lineups is the way to do it. You know, you've got to try and match the Knicks' physicality. Send guys back in waves at them, and that's the only way really to do it. I don't think height is even the thing because, look, Josh Hart is 6'4", I think.
Yeah.
And you know, it's amazing, 13 rebounds again last night.
Yep.
You know, he does it every night, and you see him doing it against guys who are nearly a foot taller than him sometimes. And you know, we asked Jalen Brunson at one point about this. I think maybe the game in Boston when he did it against Porzingis. And he just said he's been doing it since college. You know, we're used to seeing it.
So and to your point on the rebounding, so yes, absolutely Mitchell Robinson and absolutely Josh Hart, who are outstanding rebounders, but also the subtle things on rebounding as well when you talk about it being a team thing. Look, Tyrese Maxey was just jitterbug quick out of there, and other than Deuce McBride, nobody else seemed to even be close to being able to keep up with him last night, 33 points. But, you know, just as an example, two rebounds. Then Jalen Brunson played maybe his worst game of the season, but still seven rebounds. So even
and five of them offensive.
Yeah, as a short player, there he is at maybe, you know, 6'1", and yet strong, physical, fighting for rebounds. And that is it's a team mentality here for from this whole team. Let's talk about Brunson for a second. So how worried would you be? How much was this off game for Jalen Brunson and he just was not good and the shot wasn't there and all those sort of things and you expect him to bounce back versus Kelly Oubre and long defenders from the Sixers playing him and Brunson just trying to force things?
I'm going to go 100%. I have a belief that Brunson's going to come back and play well. I've just seen it too many times this year. You know, he's had games like this. You know, when you're a high usage guy like him, you're going to have nights where it's not going in. And I think for the most part, he got shots he wanted yesterday, and shots he usually makes, and they weren't going in. But what he's gotten so good at, I think, as the year has gone on, and part of it is just the chemistry with the guys he plays with.
Yep,
he's very good at getting out of the double teams and blitzes the teams send at him. He's, you know, as Thibodeau always says, he's seen everything now. Every team, you know, look, this is a guy who's, you know, scored 60 points in a game this year, you know, 10, 40-point games. Teams are scheming for him all year long, and he's gotten through it. But I think he's also realized, you know, when teams do what, you know, what Philadelphia did last night, you know, get the ball to Hart and Stein in the middle of the offense. You know, he played a lot with McBride last night. Find the shooters. I don't think DiVincenzo, you know, also will have another night like he did last night. To me, like, and the Knicks talked about it a little bit this morning, that they take it as a good sign that he had a game like he did. DiVincenzo really didn't have a big game, and they still won. They think they're going to get better. You know, Maxey had a 33-point game, Embiid, you know, 29, and was not the same player after banging his knee again. I think the Knicks see this as an optimistic thing, that they got a win when they didn't play their best, and Philly's best were playing their best and may not repeat that.
Talking to Steve Popper from Newsday about the Knicks, and so we wondered what Tom Thibodeau would do to deploy his best defender at OG Anunoby, and I thought maybe he would put him on a player, whether that was a, you know, one of the lesser players in some ways, a Tobias Harris or somebody like that, and then leave Anunoby essentially free to be a help defender, free agent roaming and helping on Maxey, helping on Embiid, kind of with his defensive IQ being all over the place. He didn't do that. What he did was put him on the super quick and small Tyrese Maxey, and it didn't seem to be a strategy that I thought worked particularly well. I actually thought Miles McBride, you know, being a similarly sized quick player, seemed to be a little bit better there. Do you expect an adjustment for Tom Thibodeau, or do you expect that he's just kind of got, he can be stubborn sometimes, like he sticks with this?
Yeah, you know, I think this is not something new. You know, he's used him on Maxey before. And even before when Nick Nurse was coaching him, mm-hmm. He was on Maxey. He's that kind of guy who can guard everybody. Mm-hmm. Maxey is super quick, and the Knicks did not do a good job yesterday of keeping him from getting downhill and really getting to the basket quickly. I think they'll probably go back with it again at times. I mean, you got to remember that McBride really got a real deep run of playing time.
Yep.
Because he had it going. You know, DiVincenzo only played 25 minutes. We may not see McBride, you know, on the court for the kind of, you know, sustained periods that he did in game one. So I think some of this is going to fall on Ananobi, and I think they think they'll do better. But I think they put it not just on him. I think they want to kind of cut those lanes off where he can't get to his right side and be flying down the lane. So, you know, I think they'll try and poke a little help in that way. To me, Ananobi is such a good defender, such a versatile defender, and there are all kinds of things we've talked to Thibodeau about, things you could do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If Embiid is limited and he's just hanging on the three-point line, you know, would it be better to have Ananobi out there on him where, mm-hmm. you know, you can basically put a guy with great length and reach on him, strong enough to kind of contend with him out there and not have your, you know, Robinson or Hartenstein out on the three-point line all night. But I think that, you know, the Knicks are kind of a believers in what they do. You know, we play the way we play. And it's worked pretty well for them. So I don't expect drastic changes out of them. I expect refinement and, you know, try and fix some of these problems they saw in game one.
You mentioned that DiVincenzo will probably get some more minutes, which I would agree with based on the way he's played. And I don't expect him to shoot as poorly. And even if he starts a little slower, I think his play this season would warrant more minutes. But what about, you know, if you look last night, so DiVincenzo, 24 minutes, Miles McBride, 28 minutes, Josh Hart, 42 minutes. And I know he played a brilliant fourth quarter and really the difference in this game in a lot of ways with that fourth quarter. And he made those threes. But for much of the game, I thought that the Sixers were clearly employing a strategy that I think they will bring back for game two, which is almost defending, using five players to defend four and daring Josh Hart to shoot from three-point range. And if he's either not taking that shot or not hitting those shots, I'm not saying he shouldn't be out there and shouldn't play good minutes, but how about 35 minutes and Miles McBride plays some more minutes or something like that? Like, why does it have to be McBride or DiVincenzo? I thought that Hart was brilliant in the fourth quarter, but I thought early on both Hart and Brunson were also, it wasn't their smartest game in terms of turnovers and some of how they were playing.
Yeah, well, I will say this. I think we're going to see Hart out there 40 minutes again because that's what we see almost every night.
I know. It's what Tibbs does.
And it's not, look, shooting is a bonus with him. You know, when he's got it going, that's great for the Knicks. But Thibodeau says it over and over again. He gives them so much versatility, so many things defensively, hustle plays, rebounding, he does orchestrate the offense a lot. He takes a lot of pressure off of Brunson because when they're trying to put somebody on him for 94 feet, you know, Hart will be the guy who initiates the offense, who brings the ball up court. He's just such a kind of jack of all trades kind of guy. Does so many things well that, again, you know, I don't think I would have said he was having a bad game before he hit that, you know, those three pointers in the fourth quarter. But it did, they did come at an important time. You're right. He is gonna be dared to do it, and they're not the only team that does that. You know, they're gonna try and get help. For Brunson, and they'll try and rotate away from him. I will say Hart has gotten better and better this year, and credit to Thibodeau, I think, for this, at sort of being a quick decision maker, either taking the three or making another play, reversing it, doing some of the things he does, playmaking wise. Which is how he's had six triple doubles this year. He's just very good at finding the right guy. And I think, like I said, Hartenstein played 18 minutes last night. I think he's also in that role of taking pressure off of Brunson and sort of, you know, initiating the offense through him from a high post.
And last one before I let you go is, were you confused that Sixers coach Nick Nurse did not seem to have his team foul when they were down by two scores, 5 points, and at the end of the game, they let the Knicks seemingly run out the shot clock. And Josh Hart, yes, gets that rebound at the end. But even if the Sixers had gotten it, it would have been 3 seconds left and you get the ball.
Yeah, it was a little strange. And I didn't go to him post-game or today. I was at Knicks practice today, not Sixers. So I don't know if he was asked about it, but it was an odd decision. It was almost kind of a give up sort of thing. And you see so many coaches who could be down 10 with 15 seconds left and they're not giving up on it. I won't mention Tom Thibodeau, but Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, exactly. Tom Thibodeau doesn't give an inch.
You've got to beat him and kill him until the, right. The final buzzer. I thought it was a strange thing.
Yeah.
I do think Nick Nurse is a very good coach. And
oh, I do too. I just was surprised. I thought if this was New York, if Thibodeau had done that, we'd be crushing him on the air here. And, you know, that's how we roll. But
I hope people stop crushing Thibodeau because it's crazy. I still get people on Twitter and stuff and with the critiques of him. And as you started this conversation saying, if Knicks fans step back and think of where this organization was for decades and what they've been, since Thibodeau arrived, it's culture has completely changed here. The expectations have changed.
Yep.
What players around the league think of them, what national media think of them.
Yeah.
It's a completely different thing. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Sure. I started off my show talking about how the words I would now use to describe the Knicks are competent and competitive. And much of the last 20 years, two decades, I do not think those would be the words we would have used. And
I could do a search through my stories. I don't think I saw them for about a decade.
Right. So it's a joy to watch a team that is consistently, you can use that word too, consistent, but consistently competent and competitive. And that's the players, that's the front office, that's the coaching staff, all of it. So absolutely. By the way, anything interesting as you covered Knicks practice today as we look ahead to game two? Anything interesting you picked up? How did Mitchell Robinson come out of the first game? Everybody seem okay in practice?
They said everybody healthy today. No issues, nobody added to the injury report. And what we kind of followed up a little bit on what happened yesterday. And I think Knicks fans will probably like talking about when we talk about competence and competitiveness with what we wrote about, what I wrote about for today. And I think it's on the web already, is Josh Hart is sort of a throwback to those 90s Knicks teams. With Anthony Mason and Charles mm-hmm. Oakley and John Starks. And he was talking about how, he sees them around and, John Starks kind of talks to him about, what it was like for them. And I think he's starting to feel that the Garden sort of treats him almost like one of them, a guy who just, all grit and, outworks people and doesn't seem to have a super skill set, but somehow, has a huge impact on the game.
I'm sure for this team, it's not lost on, they are a very likable, hardworking group. And I think that they see Larry Johnson and John Starks and Bernard King and Latrell Sprewell, and they see these players from former Knicks who are sitting there courtside, and the love and respect that those players have with fans. And I'm sure it's not lost on these players that keep doing this. Like, of course, the goal is a ring, is a title, but give us a decade like the 90s Knicks and play that way with that kind of attitude and toughness and represent the city and look ahead. It'll be you sitting courtside and being cheered by the fans.
Yeah, that's sort of one of the things that Hart talked about today was, that he sees the way that they're embraced and kind of feels that this team is sort of in that mold and is getting that same sort of love from the crowd. And look, you see it in that final minute when you see Hart going kind of wild on the court and the crowd going insane. John Starks is up out of his seat cheering. It's kind of interesting to see that, again, we haven't seen that in a long time. Even as good as the Jason Kidd, Carmelo team was, I don't think they had this kind of sort of affection from the Garden crowd.
I think that's true. I think that it was really fun. The crowd was rocking. I remember being there for games and playoff games. Very fun, you know, no doubt. But it ended up not being a number one, a long run. It wasn't a consistent thing. And it was, you know, wasn't sustainable in that way. And I think you're also right that, you know, the fans have embraced this team. They really like this team. And it's no poor reflection on that Carmelo team, but I think fans just like this team. And you're right, there's, because of probably the reflection also of Tom Thibodeau, there's that connection literally to those 90s Knicks teams through him, and that same attitude of toughness and defense that the team is and rebounding and getting the 50-50 balls and diving, you know, and taking charges and all those sort of things. There is, it feels like this is the descendant of those 90s teams.
Absolutely. It's just a different sort of atmosphere. Like, again, like you mentioned, that team was a sort of a one-year project.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of veteran players who we knew weren't going to be around and were ending their career that year. This is a different thing. This is a team. They're not homegrown, but they kind of feel like it, you know, because Brunson sort of is sort of a child of that mm-hmm. era with, you know, his father and stuff, and the long relationship he's had with Thibodeau. And even in the coaching staff, there's a lot of guys who were part of Jeff Van Gundy's staff here and are back with the team now. So there is definitely a through line from those Van Gundy teams to this team.
Yeah. Steve Popper does a great job covering the Knicks. You should be following him on Newsday. Appreciate the time, Steve. We'll catch up with you soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me. Glad we could talk some good news for once.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.